Hi everyone, it's Thursday, June 15th, 2023. Welcome to Tectio Quick Takes. I'm your host, Alex Riley, and here are today's headlines. Some rumors eventually proving to be true. We'll get into what that means. Data moats are helping vertical AI companies scale, and building on someone else's platform can lead to success. And for our lightning round, we chat through more news and announcements from the past week in tech and what's making news. Alex Norman joins me as usual to break it down. Hi, Alex, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It's picking up again slightly. We'll continue.
Yeah, it's slightly, the news is better than the weather right now, which is, I guess a good thing. If I'm going to choose one thing to be bad, I'd rather have rain than bad news.
I know. At least it's warm out, but yeah, the rain obviously is not helping. Just to get right into things, because we do have a few things we want to go over.
Yeah.
I know we don't like to talk about rumors too much on the show, especially when there's not a lot of information about things. We don't like to make too many assumptions, but in this case, a rumor that has actually turned out to be true. So I know it's very cryptic. So Alex, let's start with just what is the rumor and what turned out to be
So,
true about it?
without going into full details of the rumors, twice this year we discussed, news about Cohere supposedly raising a round. There was, the Globe and Mail covered it once. I can't remember who the other one was, but there was twice this year. There was, hey, that Cohere's raised a big round and it'll be announced shortly.
So what are the details of this round, from what at least
Well,
you know?
so what it was announced and covered by a few sources like TechCrunch and Betakit this and Globe and Mail this week. There was a round. It was 270 million raised. It was led by Innovia Capital with participation from NVIDIA, Oracle, Salesforce Ventures, DDCP, and a bunch of other venture capital firms and like Index Ventures. The rumor, again, no, the company didn't state what the valuation was, but it was supposedly rumored to be in the 2.1 billion to 2.2 billion range.
Okay, and so based on, as you said, there was like previous rumors and like chatter about this, what actually turned out to be correct about it, if anything at all?
So the amount raised was in the ballpark. The first one was hundreds of millions. So I don't know if that was supposed to be 100, 200, 300. And the second one was, I think, 200. So 270 million is, we'll give it, within the range because it wasn't 50, it wasn't a billion. The valuation of the first rumor seems to be way off it. They had it pegged at 6 billion. So if the current rumor of 2 to 2.1 billion, it's valuable. Look, I'd love to see more companies in Canada worth 2 billion, but it's not as valuable as it's supposed to be. And then previous rumors both had Google tied to investing, and if they did, it wasn't disclosed. NVIDIA was rumored to be, and they did invest. Mount, some of the investors were right, valuation seems to be off, and the participation in Google was seems to be off.
And I want to ask about the investors that are involved, because there are a few. So what's interesting about the investors that have been involved in this?
So Innovia Capital was the lead. I assume this is a growth stage fund. It's great to see a leading Canadian venture fund back, which could be a Canadian champion company. NVIDIA, who got to trillion dollar valuation recently in the public market, who's benefiting from the AI boom, and because their demand of GPUs is basically sold out, is I guess wants to see the AI boom succeed, wants to see many competitors sort of funding Cohere. I hear there's rumors I was reading about that some venture capital firms are actually providing GPUs to AI startups because they're so such short supply. I imagine that won't be an issue for Cohere. Salesforce Ventures was interesting because they actually earlier this week doubled down their efforts in AI and actually double, I think, increase their commitment to their Salesforce Ventures to invest in AI companies. And Oracle is actually a complete surprise for me. I hadn't read them. Don't know exactly the strategic angle here. I don't know if it's a distribution partnership. I don't know if Oracle does many venture capital investments. So it's interesting. What was also interesting is the lack of crossover funds. So if this was 2021, you'd have probably seen some combination of large hedge funds like Tiger, Coatue, D2, writing 50 million of this round. And, it just reflects where those firms are currently in the investment process. So,
Just to bring it back like to more of like the AI angle. So obviously we've been hearing a lot about OpenAI specifically. So how is a company like Cohere competing with them?
So I think OpenAI has a lot of customer adoption, and it seems we have gone more focused on partnering, the distribution partners like Microsoft, who's invested in them. They've also focused a lot in the consumer space with their plugins and ChatGPT. Cohere's come out and explicitly made their strategy a bit more clear. They're going after enterprise customers. Mm-hmm. They have almost a professional service arm. And it's interesting, the folks in, you know, the enterprise customers, lots of them have want to use AI, want to use the LLMs, but they have questions about the legality, you know, who's reading my data? What's the legality of using the underlying information? And so by Cohere focusing on these big customers, feels that they can provide answer questions, you know, and win a big chunk of the market, which could be very lucrative.
And I know we talk about this often, and I think there's still a lot of misunderstanding around AI specifically, but like, where are we in the AI hype cycle or around the hype with it all?
So the AI hype cycle has come and gone multiple times over the last 20 years. This time feels different. It just feels like there's a lot more applications that you can create value early on. So I actually think, you know, as much as this feels very bubblicious right now from a valuation and investment perspective, mm-hmm. I think this is the start of a long upward trend of, I think this is a transition where every company will be an AI company one way or another. So I think it's still early days.
Got it. Okay. I think that's a great point. And then just lastly, further takeaways about the news for our community.
Well, where there's smoke, there's fire. The rumors kept on coming that, you know, as I said, we don't like trading in rumors, but there was a reason this company needed to raise money. There's a reason the company Cohere could raise money. So it proved to be true. As I said, we're in early stages of new tech platform change or technology change, however you want to place it. And even while it looks like there might be early winners like OpenAI, there's many different vectors to compete on because at this point, the value chain and how people are competing are changing. So, you know, if you believe OpenAI is an early winner in the consumer space, Cohere said, okay, let's go to do focus on enterprises and focus on delivering value that, you know, enterprises need. So I think just because you're getting a lot of companies that have a lot of funding, have new winners, there's many ways to use new technology to compete and build massive businesses. So it's an exciting time to be building something.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's a great takeaway. And just to transition before we get into our next headline, just AI specifically has been a hot topic amongst people, I think, wanting us to cover more about it and also learn more about it, find jobs related to obviously AI or how to transition their own business. So our newsletter has been a great, community or place for people to come to learn more about what's going on in the space. And again, talk about that hype. So techtio.org/newsletter. If you're curious and want to learn more, that's a great place to go. Anything you want to highlight just quickly?
I was just going to say, just with Cohere, we've had the founders present a couple times at events, and I'm sure we'll put the links in the show notes to that.
Absolutely. Yep. Sounds good. So just to keep things moving. So data moats are helping vertical AI companies scale. Obviously we kind of want to know how and more about what's going on. So just what's the news around this specifically?
So EvenUp, a Canadian founded legal tech company, announced a $50.5 million round led by Bessemer Venture Partners with participation from Bain, SignalFire, NFX, and DCM, and valuing the company at $325 million.
And so I actually wasn't aware of EvenUp and what they did. So can you just maybe go high level into what they do?
So EvenUp is a few years old. They enable personal injury law firms to automate the workflow for demand letters using generative AI and a proprietary legal data set. So basically what you can think they do is, you know, personal injury lawyers get lots of cases. They're trying to figure out what's this worth, what should I settle for? So they provide contextual information to understand the value of the case and actually improve the workflow so lawyers can do their jobs faster.
And just want to pick your brain on this, just as an investor, what do you think is really notable about this deal?
And full disclosure, I did invest not in this round, but in the first round. So, So I think interesting for this community is this is a vertical SaaS deal focused on the legal industry. This is a second legal deal in the past month that raised money. And if you were to go back and ask most investors, they said, hey, don't invest in legal tech. Lawyers are notoriously slow at adopting new technology and wanting to invest in technology. And yet here you have two companies that are growing really quickly in the legal tech space.
Right. And the legal, just speaking of the legal space, it's been typically a notoriously tough space to crack. So how has EvenUp been able to successfully do this?
Well, and again, this also goes back to Spellbook. I think this is an example of why we're in early days of the AI transformation. This is, EvenUp has used their own data set to train AI to clearly value the cases and say, hey, this case is worth X dollars and you should have 70% selling it here, A, B, C, Y. And then we'll create the documents for you to go, what's called a demand letter. Mm-hmm. So this was, the value is so clear to the personal injury lawyers that they had to adopt EvenUp. What EvenUp claims is their lawyers are increasing payouts to their clients by 30%. So that's probably increasing revenues for lawyers, and it's saving them time in drafting the legal claims. So,
before,
you could have something that would improve the workflow, maybe it's a 5 to 10%, but this is such a what AI has done is created such a no-brainer return on investment. You're saving time, you're increasing your revenue, that lawyers had to adopt it. And so this is an example why I think you're still in the early days of AI.
Right. And I mean, just because we just spoke about them in the last headline, I just have to ask, like, why doesn't Cohere do something like this?
So again, like Cohere and the other large LLM models are trying to be horizontal infrastructures. And so companies like EvenUp can build upon those infrastructures and use those LLMs, but they're training it with their own data set. They understand their customer better so they can build a workflow. So it's getting unique data to create even incremental value that's hard for other people to replicate, and then embedding the process in the workflow so it makes it easier for customers to adopt it. And you have to be vertically focused to do that.
Got it. Anything else just interesting to you about EvenUp that you want to highlight?
The three founders are Canadian, and they have built a distributed company with no office. They started around COVID, so this is an example of a distributed company working. There's a lot of pressure right now for companies to bring people back in person. Here's an example of one that's making it work.
And just a couple takeaways for the community before we move on.
Look, tech platforms and revolutions rarely happen, but when they do, you have to check your assumptions. Legal was considered a bad place to build a startup, but now due to all the data that legal produces and the ability to change how lawyers work and add significant value, it's a fast moving space with lots of adoption. Make sure you test your assumptions that were based on two-year-old perspectives may no longer be valid. Mm-hmm. Customer eye is the best way to get traction. So when customers see how this puts money in their pocket, you can definitely capture some of that value. And while there's a big push to go to the office, some companies are going to remain distributed and be able to compete that way.
Right. Okay. So for our next headline, I'm just, a lot can be interpreted from what this means. So building on someone else's platform can lead to success. So let's just start with, overall what the news is there. And then we'll dive into a little more what this means.
So Caisse de dépôt is investing $125 million in Montreal based GSoft. And GSoft had previously bootstrapped. So this is the first external capital that I know of.
Okay. And how did they get here?
So the company has $100 million USD in revenue,
okay,
and is growing at 30% per year. So that's a pretty nice place to be. And they got here with mainly off a product called ShareGate, which they sell to IT professionals, and the IT professionals use it to make it more easy to navigate and use Microsoft 365. The company has also built some HR tech tools, but it seems like most revenue historically has come from ShareGate.
Just obviously the market has, shifted a ton, and we've just been hearing that like raising is obviously not the same process it used to be before. So why raise? Why did they decide to raise?
And this is interesting. This is a company that's historically chosen to grow organically and has valued internal growth, but feels that they can now grow faster, is opportunity to grow faster by buying instead of building. Mm-hmm. So they're raising this money purposefully to acquire companies and grow and continue to grow via not only organically but also via acquisition.
And just lastly, like getting you to put your investor hat on again, what else is really interesting about
that? I wouldn't even say this is an investor hat. This is more for the community. Look, if you go to start something out and say, hey, I'm going to build my company on distribution and my company's going to exist and be built on someone else's products or platform, 19 or 99 out of 100 people will tell you, hey, building on being completely dependent on someone else's platform is bad.
Okay.
And like all information, all advice you get in business, in some cases it's true, in some cases it's not. I'd say, look, if you're building upon a fast growing tech company like Twitter, they may decide one day to block your APIs or charge you more because that's their growth vector. If you're building a consumer tech company, they also may change, like, you know, early on Zynga built off Facebook, but Facebook was growing quickly, is serving consumers. So I think there's an inherent risk. But lots of the enterprise platforms like Microsoft or Oracle or Salesforce has a clear strategy, and they build marketplaces so that you can have companies that can enhance their products for specific verticals. And to a certain extent, those guys don't want to get into it because they have a much bigger prize to go after. And if you can build 200-300 million, you're helping them entrench customers, you're helping them get customers. So they actually look at this as a net positive. So okay. In some cases, if you build off those platforms, you do still have platform risk. If people stop using Microsoft, you're in trouble. But these are massive platforms. They look at what you're doing positively, and they may actually help you find customers. They may help you provide support to you. They may be actually someone that acquires you. So while general advice is don't build on and be dependent on someone else's platform, there's cases where it pays off. And in this case, it seems to have done. Yeah. And the other thing I like here is, you know, I don't know if GSoft had to raise money to do these acquisitions. I don't know the size of them. I don't know, you know, if they wanted to spend cash.
Okay.
But I think it's interesting to raise cash now because, mm-hmm. two, it's always good to have dry powder. And now it gives them optionality how to acquire companies. More optionality. They can either pay cash, and they know what, you know, they probably know they have some metrics they raise at the, I don't know if it's at 5x sales, 1x sales, or EBITDA. But they can probably use cash and acquire companies cheaper than they were valued at. So there's an immediately increase of value. Or they can argue, if they want to use shares, hey, we just got investment at X. So this is what our shares are worth. So it helps peg a price to those shares and make it easier to do transactional shares. So it gives them flexibility, gives them capital, allows them to be probably more bold than they would be without cash. So this is raising cash with a strategy of how to put more fuel on the fire.
Okay. I think a few people might have seen that headline and said, I don't think that's a good idea at all, as you highlighted, but in this case, it did pay off. So it was good to get into why it worked in this situation. Lastly, before we wrap up, a few announcements and raises, pieces of news we just want to get to quickly. So we've spoken about D-Wave a lot of times before on the show, but obviously there's some news related to them, potentially another setback. So what is the news and why is this interesting?
So they're accountants mentioned that they will no longer be their accountants. So PricewaterhouseCoopers said, hey, we don't want to be your accountants anymore.
Okay.
Doesn't necessarily mean something's bad, but for a company that's had trouble with financing and is, you know, just doesn't look good as a public trade company. I would, overall, we've followed this saga and just to me, that's a red flag.
For sure. I would see it as another setback as well, too. Okay. So next piece of news, automotive software maker, like LetterTech. What's the news there? Why is this interesting?
So Betakit reported they inked a SPAC deal to go public on the NASDAQ. Mm-hmm. I thought SPACs were dead. I thought autonomous vehicles were dead. But here we have autonomous vehicle software company going public via SPAC on the NASDAQ. I think if you look at it, there's a couple things that make this possible and not crazy. First of all, the SPAC valuation is not these $2-3 billion. It's the implied valuation at this point is $350 million USD, which, you know, is in a realm of reality, and there's a lot of upside and doesn't seem crazy. Also, like, while people aren't talking about autonomous vehicles as much, they are now getting deployed on the streets in the States, and they seem to be actually working in some places. So there's still demand. The software is there. It's probably, this sounds like a post-hype, actually rational deal. Right. And it's nice, you know, might be a sign of the IPO window opening again.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. And OneVest news. What is the news? Why is this interesting?
So they raised $17 million from Omer's Ventures with participation from current investors. OneVest provides infrastructure for wealth as a service. They're selling to other fintechs and financial institutions. And I think, you know, this is a business that makes more sense in the current environment than it did probably 2 years ago, where everyone was trying to build everything themselves. You have a lot of fintechs, you have a lot of people with customers looking at how can we increase our share of wallet or revenue from those customers without taking much capital expenditure. So here comes OneVest. Hey, you have a neobank with consumers or small businesses. We can offer you wealth as a service. You know, I don't know if they charge a SaaS. I don't think a percent of the revenue, but this is a pretty low risk way for someone to try to increase their revenue. And I think this is something that companies need to do right now. So they're in the right place at the right time.
Right.
So just, you know, interesting to see what they're doing.
Awesome. I think great place to end on before I let you go. The event calendar is obviously filling up and very busy for the summer. I think the biggest thing we want to touch on is just the summer social series, a good kickoff to Collision. We have happening in less than 2 weeks on June 26th outside at the Slip. That will be so much fun. I know last year we had over 400 people coming, line out the door to get in. I think we're expecting about the same, probably more this year. So that's a great way to kick off Collision Week for sure, and do it with us and 111 as well. We also have Tech.to Sales coming back on July 6th, which is very exciting. A Tech.to Together on July 10th. And then we're in Montreal for Startup Fest on July 13th. We have an event. So you can find out more on our website,
Tech.to. Yeah. I say if you want to have a drink and meet people, or if you want to learn something, we've got events for you over the next month in Toronto, Montreal, and hopefully soon in Vancouver as well. I'm looking forward to meeting everyone in person.
Same. Me too. We meet some great people, and it'll be nice to enjoy the weather and take advantage of the summer. Alex, thank you so much for helping us break everything down. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening. We will be back in 2 weeks' time with another episode of Tech.to Quick Takes. And until then, we'll see you on the inside.
We're in the business of delivering impossible things. We're in the business of delivering things that nobody's ever seen before.
If you build that culture, you'll come up with, you know, really cool and innovative stuff, and you know, literally could be in the next multi-billion dollar idea.
So this conversation is largely going to be about scaling yourself and scaling your leadership team.
I want to talk about one of the biggest struggles that I think a lot of startups face early on, which is building initial traction.